Hello, welcome again to some more verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We bring you these Bible teachings through the profits earned at the Wash and Word hand car washing business. So if you are a fan of verse-by-verse Bible teaching and you want to see it continue here on this radio station, we would invite you to come by and just patronize the business, and that's how we keep this ministry going. So let's get right back into it. Before we do, though, I just want to call your attention to our website, washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can find out all the information about this business and about the ministry. And you can also download and listen to any of the previously recorded messages. So let's get back into the book of Ecclesiastes and pick up where we left off in our last teaching. And I bring that up because I read verses 1 through 12 in chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes in our last teaching. And then we're going to have probably two or three messages based on those 12 verses. So you can go back and listen to them. I'm not going to reread verses 1 through 12. But the common theme that Solomon is dealing with in those opening verses of chapter 9 is the ever popular subject of death. And it's something that we all have to face. It's something that most of us don't want to face. But it's also something that Solomon, as he did with just about every subject that he came across during his infinite search for understanding and for purpose, he delves into this with a great deal of effort. And in the last, we ended our last teaching with a lighthearted story of how the devil was combating everything God did in preparing good food and healthy food, and the devil would come along and turn that healthy food into something unhealthy. And that story came on the heels of the original point in our last message, and that was that death was not part of the original plan. Death was not part of God's original plan. In the garden, he made Adam and Eve to live forever, and all the offspring from Adam and Eve would have lived forever, and God would have walked in harmony with them and spoke with them. And all of this, of course, fell when man fell by eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so what God did is he had to alter his original plan. Now, the alteration of the original plan is now the only plan that we know of. And that plan is salvation through Jesus Christ for the ultimate enjoyment of glorifying God by being in his presence and worshiping him for all eternity. So God springs into this new plan, and that, of course, being one day where we will fellowship with him. We were not intended to die. God wanted unadulterated, undefiled communion with his creation for all of eternity. And despite our fall from grace, he will still have that communion with us one day, with one exception. You must accept the sacrifice of Christ. But we, as fallen mankind, took a sip of sin's bitter cup, and we gave up eternal life for a quick taste of what was a bitter lie. And while death may not be part of God's original plan, it is certainly part of the alternate plan, which is now the master's plan. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever kicked over or stepped on an ant mound? Did you ever notice what happens immediately after you do something like that? What do? Well, some of them will fight. That is, if you put your hand in a mound and mess up the ant pile, some of them are going to fight and start stinging you and fight back. But the majority of them go right to rebuilding. There's no There's no giant corporate ant meeting to decide how they're going to rebuild. There isn't any selfishness of or laziness of one who would rebuild and one who wouldn't. No, they all immediately, without hesitation, just start rebuilding. They start fixing the mound. They start making it, well, perfect again. And the very second that sin entered the world, and consequently, along with it, death, God, like those ants, immediately started working, immediately set a new plan in place, fixing it and fighting to make it new once again. And how did he do this? Well, I hope you know the story. He did it by sending his own son to do it all, to fix it all, to fight for it all, to work and to die and to make all things new. And when the story has finally been written and those last few chapters that have been written come to pass, we read in Revelation 21:5, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Friends, God is going to restore fallen mankind. He's going to restore a defeated and falling apart world. He's going to restore the earth, and he will make it all new again. Do you know that you don't have to escape something that is going to be perfect? We embrace it. We want to grab a hold of it. We want to ride this bull that we call life for every ounce of it that we can get out. And Solomon, though seemingly focused upon the negative here, upon the pessimistic, well, he's actually using the truth about death to encourage a healthy and fun and exciting and joyous and God-glorifying life. When he wrote a couple of chapters ago, two chapters ago in Ecclesiastes 7:4, when he wrote, "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure." And when you think about Solomon using death to encourage us to enjoy the life that we have now, to glorify God through our life, then we think about the words that he just said in Ecclesiastes 7, where he says, "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning." It wasn't to confuse us. It's not like he was out of his mind. He's saying death, in actuality, is the greatest thing to happen to the living. Now, obviously not the act itself, but the reality of it, the inevitability of it, the reflection of the fact that death comes to the living, the house of the mourning. Death changes the conversation. It strips away the cheap social conventions and calls us to either be silent or to speak from the heart. In that room, the only words that seemed appropriate were the kind that are deep and clear and true. You know, in a house of mourning, we're forced to change our conversation. Death makes us focus on the reality of itself. And in that house of mourning, it forces us to just remove the cares of the world. And it forces us to make heartfelt decisions about life. It forces us to make heartfelt decisions about our plans, about our priorities, and what's important to us. In the house of mourning, we are forced to speak from our heart. We are forced to confront our own mortality. That's what makes the house of mourning a good place to be. But the house of fools and the house of pleasure go hand in hand. For they know not, or they think not, of the reality that this time is short, that we must make every effort to glorify God through the life that we've been given. But in the house of mourning, in the time of reflection upon the reality of this thing we call death, trivial, surface, and superficial problems and speech, they're unable to blossom in such a place. It forces a reality that we must acknowledge. Much like those ultraviolet lights or those black lights that they use in crime scenes that illuminate the stains that you couldn't see with the naked eye. And as that light illuminates that which you cannot see, it forces those detectives to now use that evidence in their investigation. And the fact that we can't see those stains doesn't make them not there. And what the house of mourning does, Solomon is saying, is it forces a light upon all of the bloody, stained, stinking, ugly thoughts, stupid priorities, and all that stuff that bogs us down. And so, not only does death change the conversations, but death changes the calculation. Solomon's saying that whatever seemed to be so important during life, whether it be your job or your money or your house or your family or your success, it doesn't matter now. In death, the calculations change. In a house of mourning, people's calculations change. And all that our lives have been adding up to becomes negated in the face of one's mortality. Some of the richest people in the world, when they face their own death, have the most regrets. Sometimes God has to use something as drastic as death to get us to recalculate what is important. Listen, as you go through your life, we can't logically and legitimately have death on the forefront of our minds all the time, because that would lead us to a life of depression. That would lead us to a life of laziness. For if all we had to look forward to was death, who would do anything and why would they do it? But see, the house of mourning, it's not a place you live, but it's a place you visit. So we go to the house of mourning on occasion. Sometimes we're brought there by no fault of our own or through no volition. But the house of mourning is a place we all must visit, because there we get the necessary reminders that death will change our conversation. The house of mourning will cause us to change our calculation. And it will also cause us to do a couple of other things, but we're going to look at those in our next teaching. And as we wind this down, let us remember, folks, that death is the beginning, not the end. And while it is an unpleasant conversation and an even more unpleasant teaching, it's something we all need to remember and face. And the best way to face it is knowing that your eternity is secure in Jesus Christ. Well, that's pretty much about the end of the time that we have today. I want to invite you to come by the Wash and Word. We're in the Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center in Church Hill. Let us come wash your car, and that's how we keep this ministry going. And you can listen here on the radio at WMCH 1260 AM radio Monday through Friday at 8:30 AM. You can also go to the Wash and Word website. That's Wash, the letter N, word.com, and you can download and listen to these messages for free. You can also find out what you want to know about the business or the ministry there. And finally, if you come by the Wash and Word in the parking lot, you don't even have to get your car washed, but just turn on 107.1 FM, and we play all these messages on a loop throughout the day. Just go to 107.1 FM, and you can hear them. Other than that, hope to see you at the Wash and Word. And if you do come by, let us know you heard this message on the radio. It would encourage us. Well, you have a blessed day. God loves you, and so do we.